This conference will.
And the book is truly about the concept of eat that frog. Where does it come from? And it really, as Brian talks about it, it comes from Mark Twain. And if you look in the past and see, Mark Twain once said that if the first thing we do each day is we eat a live frog, then you're probably pretty much guaranteed that it'll be the worst thing that'll happen to you the entire day, right? Everybody get that, right? If you wake up in the morning and the first thing you do is have a live frog for breakfast, you're pretty much guaranteed that'll be the worst thing that'll happen to you for the rest of the day. Well, that taking that concept and looking at, you know, the things we need to do in our lives, if we end up at the kickoff of each day looking at our to-do list and choosing the ones that are the toughest things for us to do, they take the most energy, they have the most negative, you know, concepts behind it, or the most our emphasis on procrastination, they're the things that we least want to do. And we force ourselves to, quote-unquote, eat that frog first. That will catapult us into such a level of success in our life that you will find it almost unbelievable what you'll end up achieving. And, of course, the reason for that is that when we carry things on our to-do list that we love to procrastinate around because we don't want to do them, it's not so much that they never get done or they don't get done timely, but the biggest impact they have on our lives are that, perhaps for you, an unforeseen impact, which is that they drain you of attitude, they drain you of energy, they drain you of all sorts of things that you need to live a quality of life and to be that joyful, abundant person that we want you to be every moment of your life. Because it's something that stays in your conscious and subconscious as something that you're procrastinating on, and it just eats away at, like I said, that whole energy flow and that feeling of accomplishment. So we need to tackle those frogs. First thing in the morning, we got to get rid of them and get them off of those to-do lists. Otherwise, they just grind away at us all day long. And a lot of you know that. It's also the concept of what I try to build for people around unfinished business. When I work with people on, you know, self-confidence and self-esteem, one of the first things I work on is, what is unfinished business in your life? Where do you have unforgiveness? Where are you carrying rocks in your knapsack? Where are you, you know, emotionally impaired because of things that have happened in your past? Let's resolve those things. And they're not dependent on other people. Many times we say that. They're dependent on us. We can't control what other people do, but we sure can control what we do. So we need to resolve those things in our lives. Otherwise, they rob us every single day of our self-confidence, our self-esteem, our happiness, our joyfulness, all those things. And yet we want to carry them for some reason, mostly because we want to be right about something, which costs us a bloody fortune. But, you know, it's all about being right. But anyways, the frog thing is virtually the same thing. We're talking about carrying things in our knapsack that weigh us down instead of freeing us up to have the energy and the joy and the direction in our life to achieve the success that we so desperately like to have. So some concepts for us, just to lay the foundation, is that, you know, and he put this kind of in the premise of the book. He talks about, what if I have two frogs, you know, on my to-do list, then the standard becomes eat the ugliest one first. So I thought that was kind of cute because it talks about eating the one that has the least amount of comfort for us. In other words, the one we're most dreadful about doing, that's the one we choose first. And, you know, the other concept about eating a frog every day is if you have to eat a live frog, in other words, you're putting yourself in a position, I'm going to eat a live frog every morning, you know, it doesn't pay to watch it. In other words, why do you want to stare at it for an hour or two before you eat it? If you have to eat it, get it out of the way and get it done. I mean, just like that. So it doesn't pay for you to apply procrastination even for 10 minutes. Once you know you're going to eat that live frog, just get it done with. Eat it, be done with it, move on. So anyway, so look at your things that you on that to-do list that you're most dreadful about and just get it done. Don't staring at it's not going to make it taste any better or feel any better. Just get it done. And he put in there, too, the three Ds of habit formation. D is decision to develop the habit. The second D is discipline to practice the 21 principles that we're going to review today until they become habits. And the third D is determination, that you stick to it, you persevere until the habit truly becomes locked in. In other words, repetitive behavior over and over and over again until it becomes a part of who you are. And trust me, even though these things can become a part of who you are, you know, 6 months from now, they can become a part of who you aren't as well. So you've got to constantly focus on what that day is going to look like so that you make sure they happen. So let's talk about the 21 ways then. How do we get away from procrastination? How do we avoid procrastination in our life? Because it truly robs us of our ability to succeed and our ability to have the things in life that we so desire to have. So step one, let's talk about, we're going to go through all 21 of the concepts that he develops in the book. The first concept, number one, is set the table. And setting the table, it really, for Brian Tracy, is a concept of making sure we have total clarity. Because one of the problems with our lives, one of the real reasons and most prolific reasons why people procrastinate is that they don't have clarity. If you live in a concept of confusion, if you claim confusion in your life or you're not directed, that really opens up the doorway to procrastination. Because if you're confused and you don't have direction, it's really easy to procrastinate because you don't know what to work on in the first place because you don't know where you're going. It's another concept behind why we have goals. Why do we set goals? Because we need a concept of where we're going. Otherwise, we'll end up in a state of confusion, and thus procrastination will seep in at every aspect of our life. So decide exactly what you want. And one of Stephen Covey, if you look in his Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, I love one of his early chapters. He talks about before you start scrambling up the ladder of success, make sure it's leaning against the right building. In other words, that you can climb up a lot of ladders in life, but you're going to get to a dead end if you're not aiming it on the right direction, if it's not leaning against the right building, if it's not pursuing what you truly want. So clarity is what we want to find in our lives, have some real clear, distinct direction. And that's why we do strategic business plans. That's why we work in pathway around goal setting and structuring ourselves and putting a plan together so we have tremendous clarity on what our path looks like. But the first part of clarity comes in deciding what you want. What is it that you want to create? And some of you can look at it, whether it's a foundation or you want a better home or you want a better thing or you want to get college education paid for your kids, or you want to have financial security in life, or you want to, you know, whatever that might be for you, whatever it is that you want, write down and decide for yourself what you really want. Now, with each and every one of those goals, you'll have a different plan, but start off with a specific goal. What do you want? And then number two is write it down. Of course, we know that written goals are crucial for all of us. We know that because we've done goal setting in the past, and we know that putting it in writing is an absolutely critical step. Number three would be set deadlines. In other words, once you have a goal of what you want, the next step is that you want to put some time frame around it. What time frame do you have? When are you going to create it? What's the step-by-step in terms of creating that? Okay, so there has to be a deadline around it. You can't just say, I want to have a foundation and then put a plan. You have to have, well, when do you want to have that done by? And you might not have, you know, distinct, you know, it has to be by this date, but you set a goal. A realistic goal of when that's going to be created. Just like if you wanted to make presidential in Manitowoc, if that's exactly what you want to be presidential, you write it down on a piece of paper, and then you say, by what date am I going to make it to presidential? The next step is listing all the actions you need to take in order to reach your goal. What are the most important actions I'm going to need to take to reach that goal? And then the next step is developing a plan. That's why we always have a plan. We always put a plan in process. You plan from here to that goal date what that looks like. Because there's Mary Jo's famous statement again, failure to plan is a plan to fail. So have a plan. It doesn't mean it's engraved in stone that it can't, you know, you can't vary from it. It just means that you have an outline of a direction that you're going to follow. Yes, it can be amended, but you're going to follow it until there's a reason to amend it other than just that your whimsical reasons. But you follow that plan. And then you take action. You got to take action immediately. You don't allow yourself to procrastinate after you develop a plan. You start immediately taking action in a direction that flows to achieve the goal that you set for yourself. And the last thing Brian Tracy talks about in this regard is every single day you should resolve to do something. Every single day. Take some action that's going to move you closer to that goal. Every single day. So for those of us in Manitech, if presidential is our goal, every day we take a certain action. So maybe every day for you, that means I contact at least one new person every single day. I make contact with at least one new person every single day to help me reach that goal. And that's what's going to effectively get you there. But you've got to set that, you know, set the goal and then go backwards from that. Here's my goal. All right, this is what I want to do. Write it down. Set the deadlines. Just list the action steps. Develop a plan. All right, we're utilizing all the action steps. Start taking action immediately. And then every single day, make sure you're doing something to direct you towards that goal. Number two. Okay, so that's set the table. Number two is plan every day in advance. In other words, your day, the night before, and I don't know how many of you do this. I used to do this all the time. I laughed at Lydia this morning. I said, what happened to our whole structure around this? This is something we used to do all the time. This book was so terrific for me to reread again because I got back on track. And for many of us, it is about getting back on track. How many times do we need to do that? A lot, because human nature sends us off track. We get so busy, and then we go into overwhelm, and we forget what got us where we were. So we've got to get back on track. So every day you plan in advance. So today, again, I'm working off of a fixed to-do list today. These things have to get done today. Boom, 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 boom. I got a whole laundry list of things, and I plan every day, and I planned it in advance. So every minute, this is an important statistic, every minute spent in planning saves as many as 10 to 15 minutes in terms of execution. So every single time you sit down to plan, know that you know you're being more efficient. So there's no excuse not to plan your day because you're being more efficient. Immediately upon planning, you're being more efficient. He came up with what they call the 6P formula. It's called proper prior planning prevents poor performance. Now, if that isn't alliteration, I don't know what is. Proper prior planning prevents poor performance, right? And maybe that's something you want to put up above your computer. If that's one of the problems you have because you're not a planner, put that above your computer every day and make sure that you just start doing that in your life every single day. Make lists every day and work from them. I think that's imperative. The 10-90 rule, the first 10% of time you spend planning and organizing your work before you begin will save you as much as 90% of the time in execution. Isn't that incredible? It's an incredible stat called the 10-90 rule. I'd never heard of that before, and I've read this book before, but I sure didn't remember the 10-90 rule. The first 10% of time you spend planning and organizing your work before you begin will save you as much as 90% of time in your execution. Isn't that incredible? Big statistic. So it tells you how valuable planning is. Number three, apply the 80-20 rule. Now, a lot of you are familiar with the 80-20 rule. It's the Pareto principle. And it means 20% of your activities produce 80% of your results. 20% of your activities produce 80% of your results. So if you have 10 items to do today in your Manitech business and you have a laundry list of those 10 items, two of them will produce 80% of your results. And what do you think those two are? Okay, guys, tell me, what are the two? Look at your to-do list today, for those of you who have one. What are the two items on your to-do list that are going to produce 80% of the results for you? Let me think. Could it be going to Success Tracker and looking at my downline? Could it be reading this book? Could it be going to a training today? Could it be, right? Look at the laundry list. I'm going to tell you, I know one of them right off the bat. Assuming it's on your to-do list, which is going out and prospecting, talking to new people. That's an activity that's going to produce 80% of your results. I know that for a fact. But it tends to be the one thing that we procrastinate the most about doing because it puts us out of our comfort zone. But understand that 20% of our activities produce 80% of our results. So this should help you every day when you're looking at your to-do list to determine where your frogs are. Why it's important to grab onto that frog. Why is it important for me to prospect every single day? Because that's one of the activities that's going to produce 80% of my results. And you know what we use? We use a lot of rationalization, and Brian brings this up in the book. He says, you know, we love to talk about, well, you know, I'm just going to get, I have this whole flurry of things that have been eating away at me, these little things, and I'm just going to, you know, I'm just going to get these, knock these out and get them out of my way. You know what, people, I'm going to tell you that every day of your life you're going to have a whole stack of little things that need to get done. But what's most important for you is to do what? Is to get the big things done first, the ones that you least want to do, and tackle those first. The little things are easy. But we rationalize all the time. Let me clear up these little things. How many days of your life do you end up getting into the little things and you never get out of the little things? That is the problem. We get stuck in the little things in life that create no results. That's the 80% of our stuff that creates 20% of our results. You do not want to live in that realm. You will not create the greatness that you want for your life. We need to stay in our 20% to create our 80%. Everybody get that clear? Really hard. And I loved his comment in there that truly time management for us, when we work on time management, it's not time management. What it truly is it's life management. Our time management becomes life management for us. Okay? So, again, Pareto principle works very well in many aspects of every aspect. In fact, it's a principle that you can apply against anything in your life, the 80-20 rule. In Manatech, we look at all of our activities. Just like it also applies to people. 20% of your downline produce 80% of the results in your downline. Isn't that intriguing? 20% of the time you commit on a daily basis produces 80% of the results in your life. 20% of the investment you make will produce 80% of the return in your life. This principle applies to everything. It's a fascinating principle. If you're not familiar with it, get familiar with it. So you start isolating yourself. What are those 20%? That's what successful people do. They look for the 20% and they focus their time and energy around that. If you look at the Jets of the world, he's our number one associate in Manatech, you're going to see that he spends, virtually all of his time on the 20%. He gets things that aren't producing results and he stays away from them. Time management equals life management. Time is what? Our only limited asset. So the idea is to manage your time to create the greatest amount of results for your life. If you don't, you won't create results. It's just a choice. But it's a huge, costly choice that we make every day. And it's not about taking the hammer out and hitting ourselves over the head for what we've done in the past. It's about acknowledging and recognizing it and making a change for the future, so that we truly can create a better tomorrow, because it's just a choice. Okay, number four, consider the consequences. This is a great one. When you start evaluating your list of to-do lists, sometimes you're going to say, well, Mary Jo, I can't figure out what's my frog. Boy, if you gave me your list, I could probably find out for you really quickly. But a lot of us, we've rationalized and we've been defensive for so long that we've talked ourselves out of even being able to really figure it out, because we use so much stuff that we've blocked ourselves from even feeling the concept of uncomfortableness with things. We just have consistently put them off, so there's no longer any discomfort to it. But you know what we're going to do again today? We're going to claim it's not uncomfortable or not a frog because we don't want to do it again, and we can hardly recognize it. Well, one of the ways to get around that is look at the consequences of doing or not doing each action. In other words, take your list of your to-do list for the day and say, what are the consequences if I do this or don't do this? Okay, what are the consequences if I don't prospect? Well, I won't grow my business. Well, that's pretty significant. That means I'm stifled and I'm dead in the water and my business won't grow. What are the consequences if I don't look at Success Tracker today? Nothing. No consequences. I can always look at it tomorrow. I can always look at it once a week instead of 12 times a day. What are the consequences of me not looking at my emails until noon? Nothing. So you see what happens is we start recognizing what the consequences are of each one of our actions that we have on our to-do list, and that frog will jump out at you so fast. It will jump, it'll leap off the paper. And the important thing for you to do is to look at long-term thinking. Come from long-term thinking. Come from thinking about being presidential in Manatech. Long-term thinking. I'm creating this path in my business to be presidential in Manatech and start earning the income I so deserve. So the long-term thinking now is going to help you make better short-term decision-making so you don't stay stuck. Short-term decision-making in terms of, wow, in the short term, this is what I need to do in order to create this long-term result. A lot of people stop taking a long-term view in their life because of why? It's an avoidance mechanism about making great decisions today because they're too uncomfortable decisions. I don't want to eat that frog every day, Mary Jo, so I'm not going to look at long-term results because that's going to force me to reevaluate how I conduct my life today. That's the purpose. It's, again, choosing to live your life with a long-term goal and a long-term result in mind, getting that goal set that's going to help dictate to you what you need to be doing daily. Yes, you can choose to be a meandering generality, which means you never create anything. You just meander along in life, and whatever comes, comes, and, you know, you live and let live and all this groovy stuff that you can learn in the 60s. I mean, you can be a flower child. There's your choice. Or you can choose to create incredible results in your life and be a part of creating a better world for everyone, not just yourself, but for all those around you, which is really the motivation that each and every one of us has inside us. Even if you're not motivated for yourself, let's get motivated to make a difference in this world in a significant way. So long-term thinking is critical. Every successful person has long-term thinking. That also helps people not get caught up in the short-term discouragement that can happen on a day-in and day-out basis. If you stay focused on the long term, the discouragements of today are not going to rob you of joy and direction and everything else because you have a long-term goal. You have that why out there that's going to keep you in focus and keep you positive and keep you directed. But long-term thinking will help you make better decisions in the short term because it's about creating a specific result. And part of that gets into delayed gratification. We can make short-term, you know, sacrifices very easily when we have a long-term success in mind. But our focus has to be on the long term, not on the short term. There's another law he brought up in this chapter called the law of forced efficiency, which is there's never enough time to do everything, but there's always enough time to do the most important thing. I love that concept. There is never enough time to do everything, but there is always enough time to do the most important thing. What is that saying? It's saying there's always enough time to do the frog, to eat the frog. There's always enough time. You may not get everything done on your to-do list, but the things you don't get done are not going to be the frogs. They're not going to be the 20% that create the 80% of your results in life. They're going to be the 80% of keeping busy that creates less than 20% of the results in your life, which is okay if those things don't get done. But there's always enough time to do the most important things. Three questions for maximum productivity. These are questions he asks in this book. Number one, what are my highest value activities? And if I asked you that in Manatech, what would your response be? What are my highest value activities? People, everybody, get off mute. Tell me what your highest value activities are in Manatech. Come on, you soldiers out there in the field.
I'm calling prospects and following up with them.
Perfect. Prospecting and follow-up, right? Oh. Meeting new people and following up. Perfect. What else? What's the other highest value activity for you?
Pursuing training opportunities.
Making sure you're trained. Yeah, increasing your skills.
Yeah.
Increasing skill base, okay? And we're going to talk about that in a minute, too, because we have people out there that that's all they want to do. How many of you know people in your downline that they love to go to trainings and they train themselves to death, but they don't ever create results?
Right.
Isn't that intriguing? So could we get caught up in that as a highest value activity and lose sight of application? Yes, but we'll talk about that in a minute, too. But I believe that increasing skill base is critically important, that we need to constantly be increasing our skill base. So we need to be the prospecting and follow-up, absolutely. Number one, probably topmost thing. Increasing skill base is another one, highest value activity.
Training and encouraging your people.
There you go. How about putting it this way? Proper leadership.
Yes.
Of those in your organization. Isn't that a highest value activity? Absolutely. Proper leadership, okay? Proper leadership of those in your organization.
Following up on customers consistently?
I say proper leadership. Okay, let me go to the next one. It's custom. Okay, I say proper leadership. Proper leadership because I think a lot of us come from an enabling background, and we become enablers of our people. And I want leadership to be an empowering leadership, and a leadership that means that how do I get my people and instill my people to grow and be independent and empower them to be the best they can be? That should be always our direction in leadership. I want somebody to become 10 times the leader I am. I don't want them to be dependent on me for everything they need. It might make me feel good about myself, but that's not what I'm here on earth to do, is to feel good about myself. I'm here on earth to empower people to the greatness that they can achieve in their own life. And so that's my direction, okay? So that's a highest level activity. Another one somebody just mentioned was customers, like servicing customers. Yeah, servicing customers is a good one, but I'll call it, let's put it this way, let's say adopting a great retention program, having some program in place for retention of customer base. Okay, so that's a great activity as well. So we named four, and probably pretty much in order. Maybe leadership might come before improving skill base, but they're real close to say. But clearly, prospecting is number one. Prospecting and follow up and getting new people involved is clearly number one. Clearly, you need to increase your skill base. Clearly, proper leadership, empowering leadership of those in your organization, and then a really effective retention program, okay? And those would be, would everybody agree that those are, you know, highest value activities, right? Everybody get that?
Yeah.
I didn't hear anyone say, follow my organization on Success Tracker. Okay? I didn't hear anyone say that.
No.
I mean, so you see, if you start looking at, if you take those four core principles and you say, okay, these are four highest activities, now let's look at what I do on a daily basis. You can rationalize how some of your activities might fall into these categories, but the reality is that most of us don't spend 80% of our time on those four core activities. We do all sorts of other things that we might rationalize fit in those core activities, but maybe we really don't do what's required in each of those things. So that's number one. Second question is, what can I and only I do that, if done well, will make a real difference? Whoa. What can I and only I do that, if done well, will make a real difference? So what is my gift? What is the so maybe that for you, what can I and only I do that, if done well, will make a difference? If I asked you that question today about your Manatech business, what would be your response? What can I and only I do that, if done well, will make a real difference?
Contact enough people.
Contact enough people is one of the things, because a lot of us don't contact enough people. But what is it about contacting people that, if I do well, will really make a difference?
I think let people know that you're there for their best interest.
Well, we're getting close to it. You're starting to define it, Susan, by saying, making sure we reveal how much we care about people and that we're truly trying to help them with solutions for their lives. Yeah, all of this applies to it. But the nail is
registering this.
What can I do, and only I do, that if done well will make a real difference is
talk to people.
Become very effective at sharing the opportunity for wellness and wealth, financial and health, right? I mean, if I really work on myself becoming incredibly effective at sharing this business opportunity as well as sharing the health opportunity, that's one thing I can do, and I can do only for my organization, because no one else is going to do that for me. I mean, my people can do it for themselves, but for me, if I learn to do that and I really put my energy behind being the absolute most effective at sharing this opportunity with people, then clearly it's going to make a huge difference in my results. Would everybody agree with that?
Yes.
Okay, great. So that becomes something that becomes a highest and most important, you know, activity for us to focus on and say, okay, so if that's my highest and best activity to focus on, because that's truly where I can make the maximum amount of difference for my organization, which is instead of signing up one out of 20 people I talk to, I start signing up 5 out of 20. Wow, what a difference that's going to cause in terms of, here, let me put everybody back on mute because we got some. Okay, I just put you all back on mute because somebody was giving me some static. So that becomes my core principle of, like, for maximum productivity, that's what I want to work on. I want to work on how do I. So maybe those of you coming to Manifest can say, okay, you know what, my whole focus at Manifest this year, you know, I love the compliance thing so I can learn more about that, but I am going to really focus on how do I shift in how I'm presenting this? How do I shift my beingness, my heart coming across, my love for people, my care for people? How can I more effectively tell the Manatech story so that I'm supporting people and loving on them and meeting them where their needs are in such a way that by the time I'm done in a conversation with people, they really want a part of this. So how do I become most effective? So what can I add? What tool or what new way or what new verbiage or what could I, you know, possibly do to improve my approach to people? And that's your goal. So you set that and you just, because tweaking that is going to probably for the majority of us be the one major thing that's going to truly make a real difference in our Manatech business for us. And then number 3, what is the most valuable use of my time right now? Well, we know what that is. And that is what? Doing what I know, the most valuable use of my time right now must be that I work on being the best I can be at the most important task that's really going to make a true difference in my business. So you see what happens is we all go back to the same thing. What do I need to be working on? I need to be working on being ultimately the most effective I possibly can in presenting to people and hearing them and listening to them. And maybe for some of you, the one thing they can do that really is going to make a difference for you is to really learn how to be a better listener. I mean, I just did my training and pathway around Be With Listening. And you know, every time I teach basic core listening principles to people, they're always probably 50% in the group that just sit back and go, wow, I never learned this. Because we're not taught how to listen. And being a great listener is absolutely crucial in our ability to register people and get people on board. Because that's what they're looking for. The number one way, and somebody asked that question in my class this weekend, they said, Mary Jo, what's the number one way I can show somebody how much I care about them? And I said, it's really a simple answer, and here it is. You become a great listener. When you listen to somebody, truly listen, and I mean blank slate, no judgment, no assumptions, no opinions, just hear them and show a sincere interest in them, there's no greater way of showing how much you care than being a great listener. So So maybe that's one of the things. If that's an issue for you, maybe that's what's going to, you know, you're going to go out and you're going to secure Carol McCall's books and you're going to read them in your tapes and you're going to really work on that one skill till you get that down, because that only you can do. Because other people can give you great listeners, but that's not going to support you in accomplishing the results you need to create in your life. So you need to do that for yourself. All right, whatever that is, your highest and most important, you know, task that you can do, and if done well, will make a real difference for you. Maybe it's your listening. Everybody has different parts of us that hold us back from being effective, but that could be one of them. All right, so that's number four. Number five, practice creative procrastination. Oh, I better get going. We have a lot to go through. Practice creative procrastination. What this means is that, what is he saying here? Is he saying that we're supposed to procrastinate? Well, he's saying that, remember what the other statement was, you always have enough, you never have enough time to do everything, but you always have enough time to do the most important thing. Well, what this is saying is that means that we practice creative procrastination. In other words, we look at our list and we eat the frogs, but we get rid of the tadpoles. So there's going to be some level of procrastination on some of the things on your to-do list because they're just not that important. And that's what practicing creative procrastination is. It's getting rid of the things that aren't producing the results for you and putting them off until a rainy day or whenever you have some spare time that you can just kind of do it, and focusing on the things that create the greatest amount of results. It's also truly about learning the word no, because that's a word that a lot of us have a hard time with, especially those in the supporter quadrant. We have a tendency to suck into almost anything because we want to please people. We're people pleasers. And you got to get around that, because the word no is very important, very powerful. So choose daily to put off activities until the big goals are met. That's important to do selective and creative procrastination. Number six, use the ABCDE method continually. In other words, every single time you sit down on a day and you develop your tasks, your to-do list, A becomes must-dos. And so where do your frogs fall? Your frogs are all A's, right? You have must-dos, you have should-dos, you have nice to do, but no real consequences. Again, if there's something that you want to get done, but there's no real consequence, whether you do it or not, then it doesn't get an A or B priority on a to-do list. It's C. And then there's the D ones, that there's something you can delegate to somebody else, which clearly needs to be done because time is your only limited asset, and value your time. And E, something you can eliminate altogether. And the D thing becomes something you can delegate. I always tell people, I said, you know, one of the things that incited a lot of people, my downline, specific people, I won't use names, but one of the things, they clean their house. Every week they'd spend 4 or 5 hours cleaning their house. And I would say, why don't you set a goal for yourself? Set a goal that you're going to make it to national so that you can afford to hire a house cleaner every week or every other week, whatever you need for your own home, so that you can get rid, you can delegate that responsibility. Because you don't enjoy doing it. And it's all about, the only reason you do it instead of hiring a maid to come in and do it is because you tell me you can't afford it. If everybody could afford a maid, wouldn't they all have one? I would suggest yes. Because most of us don't just get a tremendous amount of joy cleaning toilets. I mean, it's just not a joyful thing for most people. And I'm going to tell you, people, it's not a highest and best use of your time, because it's just purely returning your house back to a stature of being maintained. So if somebody else can do that for you, then you can spend your time creating something that's creating an asset. Because when you're cleaning a house, you're not creating an asset. You're merely getting back to returning it to its prior state. So the idea is there. So maybe that's a motivation for you. And then E becomes something you can eliminate altogether. We like to create tasks for ourselves just to keep busy. Well, trust me, there. If you look at your to-do list, you'll probably find a half dozen of those on there as well. So you make sure that you're not just keeping busy. Seven, focus on the key result areas. What one skill, if I developed and did in an excellent fashion, would have the greatest impact on my business? Your weakest key result area, okay? This is really an incredible quote out of there. Your weakest key result area sets the height at which you can use all your other skills and abilities. Does that make sense to you? In other words, if you the key areas in Manatech, prospecting, building rapport and trust, identifying needs, presenting persuasively, answering objections, closing the sale, getting referrals, leading others to their success. So You see, those are, I just listed key areas in Manitech for you. Now, if you look at that laundry list and you pick out what is my weakest key, what is my weakest key? What's my weakest link? Answering objections, closing the sale, getting referrals, leading others to, and I circle my weakest key. Whatever is your weakest key is going to limit the height of what you reach in all the other areas. That's what he's saying. In other words, you've got to start raising up that weakest key area. You can't go, well, I'm not very good at prospecting, but I can build this business without doing that. I don't think so. You can try, but I don't think that's going to work for you. Well, I have a really hard time. I had somebody in my organization, that was working with people. He says, Mary Jo, I love talking to people. I said, yeah, but you stay at a superficial level. And he goes, well, I'm not comfortable. Like, I feel like I don't have a right to intrude on their life. And I go, oh, really? That is telling me that somehow inside of you, you believe you're not in this world to impact lives. Is that what you're telling me? Well, that's not what I'm saying. Oh, okay, so you're on this earth to superficially giggle and laugh with people and then walk out of their lives? How does that help them? Well, it brings temporary joy in their life. Oh, good. Temporary joy. La-di-da, I can be the class clown and bring temporary joy. But how am I changing the world? How am I impacting their life? So I open up the possibility for those of you who feel this way that maybe it's time for you to intrude in people's lives. Impacting lives is what we're here on earth to do. And we're not going to do that if we stay superficial. So the incredible weakness in his area was what? It was his area was the concept of identifying people's needs. It was getting to the point of helping people pinpoint where their weakness is. Where is their need? And then being able to, because only when you can I help people identify their needs are you going to be able to present a valid solution to them that they're going to be able to see, because then it's going to be a solution they're looking for instead of a solution you're trying to force upon them. So anyway, isolate that, circle the one in the laundry list on here, and then start working on that. So focus on your key result areas so that you can lift that up so that it doesn't limit you in all your other areas. And number 8, prepare thoroughly before you begin. Of course, that's Boy Scouts honor, be prepared. I think it's absolutely critical. One of the most important things for most of you is just cleaning off your desk every day to make sure that you're not coming into, what do we call it, clutter in your life. Get rid of clutter in your life. It is holding you back in ways you can't even conceptualize. Clutter is deadly. It's like the same if it exists in your colon. Death begins in the colon. I'm going to tell you, death in your business begins in the clutter you create in your life. You've got to clear the clutter. Release yourself from the clutter. And will new things enter your life every day? Absolutely. That's why we have to-do lists, so we can get through them, check them off, get them done, da-da-da-da-da. I love it when people say, Mary Jo, I don't know how you get so much done in a day. And I said, well, because I get rid of clutter. I mean, I get rid of things. I get a checklist. I do them. I chalk cross it off. Next, 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 next. I saw it when I went out when my brother passed away, and I was out there out in California with my sister and my other brother and my mom and dad. We're all out at helping this family, which was just got totally ripped apart, because a lot of you know the story, but my brother was shot and killed by his wife, which is just an absolute devastating event. So I went out there immediately. I was out there, a day later or so, working with the kids, a 14 and 16-year-old, and all this stuff going on. And, every night I'd sit down and I'd make a laundry list. In fact, on the airplane out there, I just had a checklist. And my checklist was like 28, 38 things that needed to get done. I mean, I had to think about everything. Lawyers, he didn't have a will, I had to take care of the kids, I had to, the criminal part of it, and the real estate holdings, and the this and the that, and oh my gosh, I had just this whole thing. And I would sit down on a daily basis and meet with my sister and her husband and my brother, who is single, and I'd say, okay, so what are we getting done today? And that my brother, he looked at me, he goes, give me one thing. And I looked at him like, it was like, and I didn't make him wrong, it was just amazing that my brother, who was 3 years older than I was, a PhD, could handle one thing a day. But that was actually better than my sister because she would take three things and then not get any of them done. So it was like either, and I was just looking, and so we all have dysfunction around this, but the idea is that we need to be prepared. We need to prepare and then take action. We need to get that list and then just get it done. Dedicate our time. Don't let things get in our way. Focus, get clarity, and just start ticking those things off. And being prepared is very critical to get to accomplishing your results. So clear off your desk is a major step in preparation, as is making a list, and then you just start taking action. And you'll amaze yourself at how much you accomplish. Number 9, apply the law of 3. 3 core tasks you perform contain the most of the value you contribute to your business. So focus on what those 3, and we've kind of already done this for you today, so now you can start working through that. We came up with 4, but, you know, focus on those. All the rest is just support and complementary tasks, but work on the ones that create the highest, most value contribution to your business. 10, take it one oil barrel at a time. This is a concept of they told a story about crossing the deserts, and people would die because this desert was so wide and long, and people were getting lost out there, and lots of people were dying. So what they did is they came up with a concept, and what they did is every 5 kilometers they put 2 oil barrels because you could see as far as 5 kilometers across the desert. Now, you couldn't see past the 2 oil barrels, but it didn't matter because once you got to those 2 oil barrels, guess what? You could see the next 2 oil barrels because they were 5 kilometers beyond. So the idea is that we live our life by taking action. We may not see the next steps that we're going to be taking. It's kind of like, how do you get to presidential? I don't need to know how to get to presidential. All I need to do is know how to get to regional. Once I get to regional, I have faith that somebody will help me. How do I get to national? Once I get to national, then I have faith that I'll get more instructions on how to get to executive director. And once I hit executive director, then I'll need new leadership skills to get me to presidential. So you don't have to have the whole thing mapped out exactly how it's going to happen. You just have to have faith in the process, that once you get to a certain level, you have faith that the next step is going to be logically, you know, in lined up and in your concepts and in your plan that's going to make it work. And that's what this talks about. It talks about take it one oil barrel at a time, not feeling like you have to have the perfect plan for the whole direction up front. Number 11, upgrade your key skills. One of the major reasons for procrastination is a feeling of incompetence or inability. So you got to continually upgrade not your kills, as in the outline, but your skills, as it should say, okay? Upgrade your skills. So you continually are in green or growing or ripe and rotting. You know, you got to take constant awareness. This is that training we put out there as one of the 4 core things we need to be doing, is constantly, you know, what are you doing in the car? What tapes are you listening to? What self-development courses are you going to attend? Trainings frequently to improve your key skills. We are never have arrived. None of us have arrived. It's always a process of greater enlightenment and doing something better, and that's how we always look at it. That's why I can sit through, you know, when I go to Manifest sometimes, I always, you know, I'm in that audience the whole time. I'm listening to every speaker from stage. How do you think I give you the notes the Monday after Manifest? It's not because I'm not there, but the idea is to be present and learn, because everything out there, I always am open. No matter how many manifests I've been to, and I've been to a lot, every one since I've started, but it's always about, hey, an opportunity to learn more. So I just am always present for that speaker. 12, leverage your special talents. In other words, find the things you do the best and leverage off of them. So you really want to involve yourself in the things you love to do the most and really leverage yourself in that area, because that's going to create the greatest joy in your life as well. Commit to be great in that area too, not just mediocre, but you know, commit to be great in the things you really love and desire to do. Number 13 is identify your key constraints. Just like you identify your key areas that you need to dedicate time and energy to, you also have to identify what are your key constraints. Here's another application of the Pareto Principle. 80% of your constraints are within you and your organization. Only 20% come from outside. So many times we say, oh my gosh, this is the economy doing this, Manatech is doing that, Texas AG is a constraint. Oh, come on. This concept tells you 80% of your constraints are within you. They're not outside factors. So look into yourself and say, what is truly holding me back? Every day, isolate a constraint, tackle it. Every day, new constraints come into our lives, too. We have new things that come up every day that can stop us or constrain us from creating the results. Tackle the constraints. Boom, move through them. Bust through them, move forward. If not, you'll never move forward effectively. So make sure you're identifying your constraints. Put the pressure on yourself. In other words, the world's waiting for you to be something, for you to make something of yourself. And if you're sitting back saying, I'm waiting for somebody to come and do it for me and motivate me, you're never going to get there. 2% of the people have basically the ability to self-motivate, putting pressure on themselves. And those people are what we call leaders. Well, I'm saying to you, it's just a choice. You can choose to be in that 2% and then increase it to 3 and 4 and 5, and all of a sudden maybe we can have a world where 98% of us understand how to put pressure on ourselves to create results. And what a different world we'd have today if we could do that. So the idea is learn how to put pressure on yourself, develop the habit to do that, and you'll create great results instead of waiting for the ship to dock, because it's not going to dock. It's already there. It's just you taking it on. 15, maximize your personal powers. Another reason for procrastinating is fatigue. People say, I'm tired, I don't feel good today. Well, then take care of yourself. Get enough sleep. I'm a master of that. I mean, when I don't get enough sleep, I get crabby. I don't perform at my highest and best level. I don't even like myself when I don't get enough sleep. So I make a lot of effort to make sure I get my quantity of sleep I need to be the highest and best performer that I can be. You need to do the same thing. Take care of your health as well. And, of course, in Manatech, we do that on a daily basis by taking supplements. But we also need to work out, hydrate ourselves, take care of other. It's not just about swallowing supplements. So maximize your personal powers to stay away from a fatigue situation where we end up being procrastinators. Motivate yourself to action is 16. And that's more than just the concept we said earlier about putting pressure on yourself. This is motivating. You keep yourself motivated. The motivation comes from being an internal optimist. And I think that's important for us all to choose that. Is the glass half empty or half full? Always looking at life as the glass is half full. Refuse to allow the ups and downs of the day to get in your way. Don't let other people control your emotions. You control your emotions. You choose how you respond to things. No one else chooses it but you. And this gets back to Romans 8:28. In all things, there's goodness, right? We know that. It's just for us to pursue it and find it and focus on it. And that's what we're to do, is to focus on the greatness and the goodness and everything that transpires in our life. Otherwise, clearly, life will get you down. 17, get out of the technological time sinks. What is this? This is for all you guys that have to be on Facebook, BlackBerry, cell phones. I mean, it drives me crazy. And Lydia loves this, and I'm not picking on Lydia, but she's a techno queen. And she's my technology person. But you can't go anywhere without her getting on her emails, getting on her things, getting on her this. I could care less. When I'm on a road trip, whatever emails come in, so what? I don't need to look at them. Wait till I get home. I mean, we are just so communication-oriented today. We have to have all these mechanisms. I see people get on Facebook, and they spend endless hours on Facebook. I haven't seen anyone grow their Manatech business on Facebook. They use that as a rationale, but I'll tell you that 90% of the communication they put on Facebook has nothing to do with Manatech. It's just their justification for why they spend time there, because 10% they communicate about Manatech. Well, good grief, Charlie Brown. Good luck. But it's so much fun, Mary Jo. I'm contacting people I haven't talked to in 20 years. Well, maybe if you haven't talked to them in 20 years, they really weren't that important to you in the first place. I mean, what are we doing? There are people right in your neighborhood, your next-door neighbor who desperately needs Amber Toast, and you're getting a charge out of contacting somebody you haven't talked to in 20 years. Well, great. Good. Highest and best use of your time. 80-20 rule, 80% of your time is producing only 20% of your results. Focus on the 20%. And I guarantee you this technology stuff is not in the 20% that's creating 80% of your results. But we are using today technology as a master of our lives instead of a servant. So be careful. As I put in there, just stop it. 18 is slice and dice the task. That's basically what we went over last week when we talked about small sizing it. One small step can change your life. It's called breaking it down. How do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? 19, create large chunks of time. That's what I do. When you have tasks to create, you lock in. I say to Lydia, what are we doing this afternoon? Show me what time I have free. Making sure I have free from 11 to 3 today. So I have 4 hours of focused time that I can accomplish this, this, and this. And I use uninterrupted time. Of course, for you that don't have Lydia's in your life, you don't have to answer the phone. You can let the answering machine do that. And you can allocate your time effectively and efficiently to accomplishing the tasks that you have at hand. Do never be stingy on the time dedicated to important tasks. That's very important that you give proper time. Number 20, develop a sense of urgency. For those of you waiting for the boat to dock or the time to be just right, you will be waiting forever. We are all to be in an action orientation. We take action, we take action, we take action. When you take action, there's a concept of energy and there's a concept of being in the flow. Excuse me. And when you're in the flow, you're going to be in your most highly productive, efficient, creative mode. And you create momentum around you, and everybody follows you, and it's just a place you want to be. Some of you sit back and go, I don't even know what the flow is, Mary Jo. Probably because you've never been in it. Some people ask me sometimes, Mary Jo, how do you create momentum in your business? I said, well, first things first, you take a lot of action. You've got to create the action. You start creating action, and people will start, you know, following that footprint. You are the leader. What you do, other people follow in. So if you're not active, if you're not out there pursuing things and you're not signing people up and you're not, you know, doing marketing ideas and creative new marketing things, then don't expect your group to go anywhere because they're going to follow you. So you want to be in the flow. You want to be in your most highly productive, creative, and effective way. And your emotions will be exhilarating when you get in that state. So it's also a way to fight back depression and, you know, all the other kind of stuff, this negativity that we tend to grab onto instead of staying in the positive mode, the eternal optimist mode. And then 21, single handle every task. And what he means by this is he's saying that when you take on a task, like my tasks I'm taking on between 11 and 3 today, he says take on the task and complete it. You take it on and you finish it. So many of us, we get involved in a task and we get stumbled through something. Something comes up, and guess what happens? It goes by the wayside. We need to complete the task. So you get very single-minded about completing a task. No matter how cumbersome it is or what trouble we come up against or what roadblock or what constraint hits us, boom, we stay focused and single-minded until the task is complete. Self-discipline in this area is critical to accomplish it, but it sure supports you in accomplishing what you need to accomplish. So there you go, people, 21 ideas. And boy, there. How many of these can we use? How many got a few out of this, or how many got maybe 19 out of 21 that really need to be applied to your life right now? Does anyone feel that way about these 21 concepts? Are they all powerful for you?
They're all powerful.
Can you see how I can... Go ahead.
How do I start?
You just start, right? Choose one or two and start implementing them today.
Right.
Okay. There you go.
This is awesome, Mary Jo.
Yep, great. And understand how to start, people, too. I want you to just tackle. You know, do not walk away from this Monday call and say, man, I'm in overwhelm. Don't go in overwhelm. You just, what you do is you grapple with it and you go, okay, what's going to be most meaningful? Even if you start off, okay, I'm going to start with the to-do list and the A, B, C, D, E, and I'm going to implement that today. Great. And then do that. And then take on another one. Tackle them. Again, it's like, you know, one small change can totally change your life. So tackle one at a time and build them as habits in your life. And that's what's going to totally change your life for you. So it's time to get that. But I suggest, if you ask my suggestion, I think that, you know, those three questions for maximum productivity, what are my highest value activities, what can I and only I do if done well will make a real difference. I think getting a real clarity around those things is so helpful for you And then focusing, okay, so if this is true for me, why am I living my life like this? Why don't I live it from truth? Why don't I come and start, you know, applying that in terms of what I do every day, the frogs I eat every day, and what I get, accomplish every day, and what I dedicate my time, using the Pareto principle, again, 80-20. But whatever you choose to do, tackle it and just add one of those each, you know, week maybe, and maybe it takes you 3 or 4 or 5 months to develop half of these habits. It's okay. It doesn't make you wrong. It just makes you directed that you are making those changes in your life that will create the results you want for your life. So great, people. It's a great book. Like I said, great applications. And let's just, you know, start circling them and do one at a time. Don't walk away from today's call with a hammer either. I don't even want to hear about it. It doesn't matter if you've never developed any of these in your life. Remember, life is a process. We are all growing. And just being on this call today has allowed you to open your eyes up to being green and growing and choosing something different. And that's what it's about. Because if things are going to be different in our lives, we need to choose to do things differently. All right. Love you all. Have a great week. And I can't wait to see a lot of you at Manifest. I'm looking forward to it. Yoo-hoo! And for those of you not here, of course, be on our call next Monday and you'll get the full update of what a great convention we're going to have. So have a great one. Talk to you guys.
Thanks, y'all.